It is good to be with you. So 3.5 months ago, I all but quit Facebook. And I was doing pretty well staying off of it. But then we were asked to quit seeing people in real life. In fact, I think I have spent 3.5 months on Facebook this week alone. In fact, Facebook posts and comments inspired many parts of the sermon today. I give thanks for communal wisdom. All the while, I keep hearing and seeing the ways all these things tie into our Lenten series, Jesus, known in many ways. You see, Lent is the season of preparing for Easter. Beginning with Ash Wednesday, which was in February, there is a tradition of giving things up. It was that Lenten tradition that inspired someone online. It began with a simple tweet that turned into a meme. I didn't plan on giving up so much for Lent. Truer words have never been shared, liked, and retweeted. Our reality right now is strange, and there is much that has been given up. Some of the things we have given up are temporary. We'll be back in rooms together soon enough. We will sit at restaurants, enjoy coffee shops, and gather in groups of more than 10 once again. We will see fully stocked shelves like we're used to. And the sports teams and the arts and cultural events, the parties and the crowds, they will have another season soon enough. Some of the things we are giving up are more permanent. The thought that these things don't happen here, gone. The American ethos that there's always a way for us to outthink, outspend, or out-engineer a problem, that facade is cracked and crumbling. The way too many of us take our health and well-being for granted, God willing, we will not return to such naivete. I never planned on giving up so much for Lent. And we mustn't overlook those who haven't as much given things up, but certainly have lost a lot already. Those among us who are more vulnerable and can't leave the house for fear of possible death. Those whose livelihoods are disappearing as quickly as their shifts at work did. Families that rely on programs and institutions that have shuttered, programs that offer support and essentials and encouragement, are gone for some. No matter how you have been affected so far, there is a lot of fear and anxiety in our world right now. It is palpable. It is lingering and it is uncomfortable. And I need you to know you are not alone. Whether that's what you are feeling and whether that's newly inspired by current events or if the happenings of the world have simply exacerbated something you've been dealing with for a while, please let me know and let's talk. Whether it's a phone call, an email, a FaceTime, or a Zoom, please let me know if you need or want or would just like to talk. Pastoral care is not stymied by social distancing. In fact, the entire staff and I care deeply about you, even if you're just joining us for the first time. These offers and invitations for connection, these offers and invitations for community and support, they aren't made to those who carry a membership card or know some sort of secret handshake, because we don't have those things. Whether you have been here for decades or you just stumbled across a friend's Facebook post and into our live stream for the first time, let us know how we can be present with and for you. As a congregation that seeks to build a home where all belong, our care extends beyond our walls, which is a good thing since we aren't allowed to all be inside these walls right now. You know, that's another common theme I've seen on my Facebook feed this last week. Variations on this theme that now is when we show the world that the church is not about a building. I mean, I sure love being together in the same space, but that's not what makes us a church. our shared appreciation for the love, acceptance, justice, and hope shown in Jesus, and our desire to live those values in a way that will transform the world, doing all of those things as we build a home where all belong. That's what makes us a church. And we are not giving that up for some virus. Parents, join us on Tuesdays to check in and get support while we all adjust to having no schoolrooms for a while. Everyone is invited to a time of prayer on Wednesday nights, the sharing of joys and concerns, human connection as we pray. It is life-giving. And that puppet story time on Friday mornings is not only for the kids, though it certainly is designed for them. It's for all of us to be together. There is something very joyful about watching all those little faces bounce across the screen, bring their own puppets, and share their joy. And in fact, today, after worship, I invite you to grab something to drink and hop over to the coffee hour on Zoom. We are continuing to develop ways to care for one another in these strange days. If anything, we are going to learn more about ourselves and how to strengthen our relationships in some ways we never considered, because we are not giving up hope, peace, love, and joy. We are not giving up love, acceptance, justice, and hope. These are the foundations, not of a building we can't be in. They are the foundation of who God calls us to be wherever we are, at whatever distance. And though the circumstances of life dictate giving up a lot of comforts, routines, and experiences, this foundation that we are called to remains. I never planned on giving so much up for Lent. You know, this idea of giving things up, of letting go, it's an ancient part of the Christian tradition, and traditions before ours as well. In the simplest of terms, we're talking about fasting. Abstaining from something as a means of growth and enlightenment. For some, the idea of giving things up is a way of reenacting the life and death of Christ. The idea that Jesus suffered, so we should remember that by making ourselves less comfortable. It probably won't surprise you. I'm not comfortable with that understanding. Because Christ's entire life, let alone his death, was filled with different kinds of sacrifice. Comforts, stability, relationships, family, safety, ease, all of these are things that Jesus gave up every day. In fact, they are also things his disciples, those who chose to follow him, they were things they gave up as well. Jesus asked folks to walk away from everything they knew and all the routines they were comfortable with. He asked folks to sell all they owned and give the money to those in need. And as he approached the final week of his life, Jesus put it into very clear terms. The Gospel of Matthew recounts Jesus' words this way. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "All who want to come after me must say no to themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. All who want to save their lives will lose them, but all who lose their lives because of me will find them. Why would people gain the whole world but lose their lives? What will people give in exchange for their lives? For the divine and human one is about to come with the majesty of God and all of God's angels, and then he will repay each one for what they have done." This scripture is a powerful expectation, followed by a bit of a riddle. All who want to come after me must say no to themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Talk about great expectations. The ask is as simple to hear as it is hard to do. Don't make your life just about you. You see, that's what living like Jesus is about. It's one of the ways we can know him as one who lives for others. Then Jesus' words begin to layer upon themselves almost mysteriously. All who want to save their lives will lose them, but all who lose their lives because of me will find them. Jesus asks, why would people gain the whole world but lose their lives? And what will people give in exchange for their lives? He's weaving these words upon each other to point us again to a very important truth. We have nothing to gain if we only seek gain for ourselves. We are invited to know life by living like Jesus, which means living for others. Now, many writers in the New Testament will go on to write about how Jesus died for others. And he did. But it's also essential we don't overlook that he lived for others. He gave up so much to live for others. In everything Jesus gave up in life, he did so to keep other people at the center. He gave up putting himself at the center of his own worldview, and that's where I draw my understanding of fasting. I don't give things up to suffer. I give things up to remember there is more to life than just me. In the most traditional sense, fasting is supposed to be a question, a reminder to pray. See, for example, if you give up a meal, you're supposed to pray when you would have been eating, and you're supposed to pray anytime you feel hungry. So like during Lent, if you give up chocolate or coffee, anytime you long for it, you're supposed to be invited to pray. You're supposed to let your inward longing turn you to an outward focus. And as we experience this Lent of great letting go, for we are giving up more than we planned for Lent, we do so as a means of making our lives about more than ourselves. Never in modern society has it ever been so clear how interconnected we are. Someone coughed halfway around the world. And then someone didn't wash their hands in our own country. And we realize how few degrees of separation there really are. And resolving this global health crisis will not come from selfish thinking. We can't make our lives just about ourselves. You see, your actions are not only for you. Your actions right now are for all of us. Every sacrifice, everything we give up right now is a way of living for others. And much like Jesus' words, the only way to save ourselves is to change our living for everyone. And as we do so, and I beg of you, please change your ways of living and being for the well-being of others. Stay home. Minimize contact with others. Encourage those you know to do the same. And as we do these things, as we temporarily give up what was and how we used to do things, every time we encounter moments of frustration and loss, and oh, have there been some, every time we encounter moments of disappointment and lament, and oh, how there have been some, because this is hard, every time we have a moment of realizing how hard it is, let us pray. Let the inward longing turn us to an outward focus, that we might pray for those we know. Pray for those we will never meet. Pray for those who are sick. Pray for those who are caring for the sick. Pray for those whose lives will never be the same. Pray for those who might lose their life's work and the family business. Pray for those who are isolated and lonely. There are so many people to pray for. And there are so many inconveniences right now to remind us to pray for them. The Lenten journey, modeled after the life of Jesus, is one of sacrifice, that we might offer life to and for others. And it is a journey toward Easter. For this journey of giving things up, it leads to new life without restrictions, without boundaries, a promise that awaits us in the story of Jesus and the very story we are living today. This is for life. I didn't plan on giving this much up for Lent, but I will, so that others may live. Because life is about more than just us. Amen.